this morning, I have a few little games to play. Now, I know this is not usual, but you know from time to time I like to do crazy things. So, if you'll play along with me for just a minute, a few questions. You can answer them out loud together, at least these first set, if you'll answer them out loud with me together. What color is snow?
White.
What color are clouds?
White.
White. What color is whipped cream?
White.
What color are polar bears?
White.
What do cows drink?
Water.
Cows drink milk? Really? Interesting. Interesting. Cows drink milk. My girls love Disney movies, and so we watch a lot of princess movies. And so, do you recall, though, what mouse walks on two legs?
Mickey.
Mickey Mouse. What duck walks on two legs? You know, Donald does, but every duck walks on two legs. Okay, a simpler question. I'm going to put your biblical knowledge to the test a little bit, right? You all are here in church often. You read the Bible a lot, so I know you won't have any problem with this simple question. How many animals of each kind did Moses bring on the ark? Two, six, seven? What's that? Moses didn't bring any animals on the ark. Correct answer, zero. Oh, me. All right, I expect to see you all in Sunday school next week. All right, let's try a bit of a different one. Kenya is a country in Africa. The opposing colors on a chessboard are? Now name an animal.
Zebra.
Interesting. I heard zebra a lot. Could have named any animal. Zebra. All right, one more, if you will, with me. One more. And this one, keep it to yourself. Keep your answers to yourself. Just think of them in your head. It's going to be a little bit of math work here for you to do, so you're going to have to get your fingers out. I want you to think of a number between 1 and 10. Any number between 1 and 10. Got your number, multiply it by 9. Pull your fingers and your toes out. Multiply that number by 9. Now you should have a two-digit number right now. I want you to take those two digits and add them together. Added your two digits together. All right, now you've got that number. Now from that number, subtract 5. Got it? All right, so you've all got a number now in your head. Whatever that number is, I want you to, using the alphabet, correspond that number to a letter of the alphabet. So, for example, A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, and so on and so forth. So you took your number, and you've now corresponded it to the alphabet. Now you have a letter. You've all got your letter. Raise your hand if I've lost you. If I've lost you, raise your hand. You're all like, oh, no. Okay, good. You've got your letter. Now, think of a country that starts with that letter. Think of a country that starts with that letter. Okay, now, remember that country. Go to the last letter of that country. Whatever that letter is, I would like for you to think of an animal that starts with that letter. Now, remember that animal. So you've got a country and you've got an animal. Now, whatever that animal is, go to the last letter of that animal. I want you to think of a fruit that starts with that letter. Okay, so you've got a country, you've got an animal, and you've got a fruit. How many of you are thinking about kangaroos eating oranges in Denmark? How many? Looks like most of you. Interesting. Interesting, isn't it? Now, these exercises show that we're not as free thinkers as we think we are. We're not. We can be convinced to come to all kinds of conclusions just by the things that we're told, the questions that we're asked, and the information that's given to us or not given to us. You're not as free as you think, and the world around you takes advantage of this all the time. Subliminal messages and commercials compel you to choose one product over another without realizing why you chose. All kinds of studies about subliminal images that will pop through a commercial that you won't be able to recognize with your mind, but you'll leave that and you'll think, huh, I need to go get X, Y, or Z. All kinds of studies that prove that. Alluring pictures and advertisements will cause you to spend more on a product than you would otherwise think is fair. But my goodness, that person was so beautiful, or that place was so magnificent. Smells are strategically placed in different environments to cause you to feel, for example, hungry when you pass by a restaurant. In fact, there was a great piece that went around Facebook not long ago, just a month or so, about how Disney is famous for doing this. In Disney World, there are actually smell emitters, thousands of smell emitters that put out smells in different locations so that when you walk by the food, you smell the food that they want you to buy. When you walk into a ride, it doesn't smell like stinky, sweaty kids, but instead it smells like underwater Ariel and the Little Mermaid, for example. This happens all the time. Limited time offers can nudge you to make impulsive purchases without realizing why you did it. In fact, if you go on the internet nowadays and look at an offer to buy, most of them will have a counter, and it'll count down so that you'll push that button before it gets to zero. Never mind that if you let it get to zero, it's going to start right back over. They want to compel you to purchase quickly. Certain temperatures will cause you to leave places quicker or linger longer. So, for example, McDonald's will pump their air condition way down. They're a coffee shop, but they don't want you to linger. They want you to get in and get out. So the air condition will be low so that you won't feel comfortable and you'll leave quicker. You make all these decisions. All of us make all these kinds of decisions in our daily lives according to someone else's pre-designed purpose. And yet we all walk through life thinking that we freely make choices as an individual, as an independent individual. And so much of what we do is just a ruse put on by marketing experts and salesmen and advertisers and corporations and fundraisers and architects and designers and so on and so on. The truth is, we're enslaved to lots of things around us in ways we wouldn't believe if they were staring us right in the face. In fact, many of you might be thinking right now to yourself, oh, I don't make impulsive decisions because of commercials. The internet doesn't make me do anything. I don't act impulsively. Commercials don't manipulate me. But the truth is, they do in ways that we're not even aware. We don't like to think about being enslaved in our world. We don't like to think about slavery at all, but the truth is we are all slaves to something or to someone. Paul understands this. For Paul, slavery is simply surrendering your life to the control of another. When you think about it this way, we're all slaves. Some of us are slaves to money, stock market, our savings accounts, home mortgages, credit cards. Some of us are slaves to a job that we may or may not like. Some of us are slaves to hobbies, to sports, to personal fitness. Sometimes we get slaved to a sickness, a disease that's debilitating us. And get a little close to home today. Some of us are slaves to liberalism. Others of us are slaves to conservatism. Each taking in the dogma of one or the other and then renouncing the other as wrong or evil or ignorant, listening to the views of radio show hosts and partisan political commentators, effectively becoming slaves to a partisan ideology. Chances are, if you're liberal right now, then you're thinking about how those conservatives do it. And if you're more conservative right now, you're thinking about how those liberals do it. And the truth is, they both do it. And we all get sucked into it in one way or another, maybe on different issues, different ideas. Some of us are slaves to the Bible. Some of us are slaves to traditions. Others to particular styles. And if you want to know who your master is, then pay attention to what occupies your thoughts. how you spend your time, where you spend your money. None of us, you see, is free from outside influence. And don't feel bad about that, because it's okay that we're influenced by things. In fact, it's really this idolatry of personal independence that makes you and I think that we should be free from all outside influences. It makes us think we even have the ability to make decisions in the vacuum of our own thoughts and our own reason. That's right, I said idolatry of personal independence. Probably not a popular topic. Paul explains what I mean, though. He doesn't encourage us to be free from anything. He doesn't encourage us to do whatever we want. He's very clear. You haven't been set free to do whatever you want. Not at all. Paul instead paints a pretty black and white picture saying that we're all slaves to either sin or to God. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Very clear. You are either slave to sin or slave to God. According to Paul, there's nothing wrong with having a master. It's just a fact of life. We all have masters. It's a part of being human. What matters, according to Paul, is who that master is. Is your master God? Or is your master something else? There are things that are godly, according to Paul, and there are things that are not. And either you'll be obedient to one and disobedient to the other, or vice versa. And that ought to sound pretty familiar, right? Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters." This is the teaching of Jesus. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," says Jesus. You cannot serve God and something else. There's no option of being masterless in the world of Paul and the world of Jesus. So again, the question before us is who or what we serve. And this is an important question for us on a day such as today, just 2 days before our biggest celebration of freedom, the 4th of July, Independence Day. What exactly is it that we celebrate this time of year? We get all decked out and have parties, but what is it we celebrate? Yeah, I know the easy answers are freedom and independence, but what are those exactly? Independence, most of us would probably define as being free from another. In our case, in the United States, it's being free. We celebrate a time when we establish freedom from Great Britain, from colonization, from taxation without representation, from a monarchy, from religious oppression that was going on in Europe. We got our freedom. We fought for our freedom. We won our freedom. We don't simply celebrate freedom to do whatever we want. We celebrate freedom from oppression. Freedom from the proverbial foot on our necks that would hold us down. Freedom from powers that would use us for their own purpose, for selfishness, for a selfish end without the concern of our livelihood. That's what Britain was doing to us, after all. July 4th is not about being free to do whatever you want, though I think a great many people in our country have forgotten this. We fought freedom to collectively govern ourselves. We did not fight freedom, for example, to be free from taxes. We fought for freedom to determine taxes as a collective body. We didn't fight freedom for freedom to lie, to steal, to cheat, to murder. Instead, we fought for freedom to collectively create a system of justice over such actions. We didn't fight for freedom to have no rules. That would be anarchy. We fought for freedom to be able to have a voice in the rules that were made. In other words, we did not fight to be free from everyone and everything. We fought to be free from a particularly oppressive country, Britain, and free for a particular way of life that we now call democracy. We are free from one thing to be free for another. Paul has something quite similar to say to this. He's not talking about a freedom to do whatever we want. In fact, Paul describes that freedom as sin. Doing what you want without the good of others in mind is really just sin telling you what to do. So says Paul. God's freedom, on the other hand, is different. It's a freedom to follow God, a freedom to listen to God, a freedom from the powers of the world and the effects of sin in the world, to be free for grace, a grace that comes by being a slave of God. Sounds ironic, right? We're free from this in order to be slave to that thing. Doesn't seem to make sense to many of us. Free from sin so that we can be slaves to God. As Paul says, and I hope the examples that I suggested to you at the beginning of the service illustrate, we're all slaves to something. We're all being nudged and compelled and sometimes forced to do things that are outside of our normal will in ways that we wouldn't believe. Freedom is about having God as your only master. Because in God we find what freedom really and truly means. Freedom to do right. Freedom to love. Freedom to walk the extra mile, to give your coat as well, to love your enemy. Freedom from evil so that you have the opportunity to be God's good creation. As a U.S. citizen, I am free. Because I'm not bound by an oppressive power. Because some folks took it upon themselves to ensure that I wouldn't be bound by an oppressive power that would seek to step on my neck and to use me for its own advantage. And I will celebrate that freedom this weekend in 2 days. And as I celebrate that freedom, I'll also remember what Paul says. That even when I am free from evil powers, that does not mean that I'm free to do whatever I want. Because if I simply act as I want, then I've simply traded one sinful master for another sinful master. And to be honest, I fear that this is what far too many citizens in our great country are doing. It is what they will celebrate this weekend, their freedom to do whatever they want, their freedom to sin, their freedom to follow their own decisions and desires without thought of the other, without thought of God. And that, according to Paul, is not freedom at all. It's being slave to sin. Instead, this July 4th, I celebrate freedom by exercising my trust in God as my master. By exercising my reliance on God as my Lord and Savior, by following the way of my Master God through the life and the teaching of His Son, Jesus Christ. And God's way, according to Paul, is marked by love of God, by care and compassion for others, by honoring, respecting, and cultivating all of God's good creation. You see, when you exercise your freedom to listen, your freedom to love, your freedom to share and to care with others, your freedom to show grace and mercy, then you will find your eternal freedom in God. A freedom that is coming closer and closer to each of us every day as we follow the one who created us to be free in Christ. And that, brothers and sisters, is absolutely worth celebrating. Amen.